Iran's president said there's no place for nuclear weapons in his country's defense strategy. The U.S. has accused Iran of pursuing nuclear weapons, a charge Iran denies. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
Iran's president Mohammad Khatami told Saudi daily Al-Watan that his country is not trying to acquire nuclear arms. He said, on the contrary, Tehran is asking the world and region to get rid of nuclear weapons. Mr. Khatami also reiterated his country's stance that it is simply pursuing peaceful nuclear energy. He accused the U.S. of launching an unjustified campaign against Iran by accusing the country of pursuing nuclear weapons. The U.N.'s nuclear watchdog agency has called on Tehran to sign up to stricter inspections of its nuclear facilities. Last week, after the agency's director visited Tehran, Iran agreed to work with the organization to consider the prospect. Mr. Khatami said that Iran would sign up to the tougher inspections based on what he called the country's national interests, dignity, and independence. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Liberian rebels fought their way closer to the capital of Monrovia today, sending a flood of refugees on the run. Now, residents of Monrovia are worried the rebels will stage a third assault on the capital in 2 months. The fighting undermines a shaky truce between the rebels and forces loyal to Liberian President Charles Taylor. President Bush has repeatedly called for Taylor to leave office. Taylor has agreed to accept exile in another African nation, but says he doesn't want to go until peacekeeping forces are stationed in Liberia. The rebels say that deal is unacceptable.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is out with new guidelines aimed at preventing transmission of HIV. In the words of CDC Director Dr. Julie Gerberding, it's time we merge prevention services for HIV-infected persons into the mainstream of medical care. The guidelines are aimed at helping healthcare professionals communicate with their HIV-infected patients about what they can do to prevent transmitting the virus to others. The CDC says with an estimated 900,000 people in the U.S. living with HIV, prevention strategies are essential for HIV-infected people. A new show on Fox is being criticized by an Asian American media group. The Media Action Network for Asian Americans says Banzai demeans and stereotypes Asian people. It features an off-screen announcer speaking in a parody of a Japanese accent and a karate-chopping host known as Mr. Banzai. The program debuted to strong ratings last Sunday.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Santa Monica is still reeling after yesterday's tragic accident that killed 10 people and injured more than 40 others at the outdoor farmers market. Steve Gonzalez has this update.
Authorities say 86-year-old George Weller drove his car 2.5 blocks through shoppers and spectators, and when the smoke cleared, 9 people were left dead. These spectators were in shock.
I feel terrible about it. I frequent the farmers market every week.
Sad. Horrible. Really sad.
After I heard enormous screams, it was panicky and crashes. People were being flown. There was a dead guy right on top of the hood when he drove past.
Authorities believe it may be more age-related since drugs and alcohol have been ruled out. In Santa Monica, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
A down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 44 points to 9051. The NASDAQ was down 50 to 1698. The S&P 500 lost 12 to 982. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. lime green,
smoky black,
pomegranate red, and crystal clear. If you're thinking fashion colors for fall, back up and think car fluids. And when I come back, I'll tell you all about them. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. The same false shades you see on Paris runways can be found on garage floors. And these colors speak volumes as to current or potential problems. Lime green says, coolant, check your radiator. Smoky black whispers oil leaks, could be engine, differential, or power steering. Pomegranate or brownish red hints transmission fluid. And crystal clear may say harmless condensation, or may shout danger, your brake fluid's leaking. Make sure your car is in the pink. Catch these fluids on a newspaper for your mechanic to evaluate. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio at 7:30 past the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced tonight by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Do join in the fun and frivolity if the spirit moves you. This will be our last night for, until the 28th, Monday the 28th of July. So if you'd like to get something said on the program, now is the time to do it. You can email also Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Kathy put together a collection of some of Ari the Liar's statements. You know, he retired. When was it, Monday? He bailed out, Kathy? It's incredible. As I listened to Kathy as she put this stuff together, it occurred to me the obvious, but it just stuck out like I don't know. It was so obvious what was going on here. The purpose of a press secretary is not, this press secretary especially, was not to get information to the American public through the media. The purpose of this press secretary was to block the American public from getting information it desperately needed in order to make rational decisions about a whole raft of problems that the Bush crime family has brought into our consciousness, into this economy, and into this country. But it's amazing to listen to the way Ari Fleischer would lie or avoid or ignore or belittle or just keep the firewall between the press and allegedly supposedly the press represents the American people, but to keep that wall between the press / the American people and this criminal administration, this criminal Bush administration. It's amazing. So we'll play that for you a little bit later in the program. It runs about 7 minutes, and it's just Ari Fleischer after Ari Fleischer after Ari Fleischer. But when you listen to it, I guess that was the point I was trying to make. When you listen to it, just one comment after another from him strung together, it's astonishing how little information gets out. His job is not to inform the press or the American public. His job is to cover up. It's unbelievable to listen to. A couple emails here. Greg sent this in. Mike, I served in Vietnam in 1969 with the 5th Infantry Division. By that year, many of us, especially near the DMZ like we were, many of us had FTA on our helmets. Blank the Army. Well, you know what FTA means. And in our lingo, the Army was no longer the Army. It was the Green Machine. So when our troops in Iraq start bitching in public, first I feel a strong, strange, and sympathetic deja vu, and secondly I realize if the situation does not improve, the fraggings will soon start and discipline will deteriorate. In 1969, many of the troops, disgusted with the hopelessness of it all, and too young to have fully developed wisdom, turned to tie stick, or as much black label as they could guzzle. I wonder how that sort of behavior will play on MSNBC. When I went to Vietnam, I was an 18-year-old God and country patriot. When I returned, I was numb, jumpy as hell, and a total cynic. I'm disgusted to think we are repeating the same wasteful cycle. Greg. Thanks, Greg. From Xavier in Paris. Hey, Mike, a little thought of mine regarding the program on 15th of July. That would be, what was that, Tuesday? Yeah. When you were talking about the guy speaking about the American budget deficit. Oh, yeah, the $455 billion. Don't you find that he pretty much sounds like Saddam's former Minister of Information, the one who was boasting in front of journalists when he was saying that everything was perfectly under control, and, in fact, U.S. troops were on the outskirts of Baghdad? I find this pretty depressing, actually. It reminds me of something Friedrich Nietzsche, the 19th-century German philosopher, said. Quote, whoever fights a monster should see to it that in the process he does not become a monster. And when you look into an abyss, the abyss also looks back into you. Take care, Mike. Xavier from Paris, who practices, I think I understood him the first time he wrote, he practices his English, especially his idiomatic English, in his emails. Good for you, Xavier. Xavier, got the message? Absolutely. From Diana in Florida, Mike, even if we were to grant that the so-called mistake in the infamous so-called 16 words of the President's State of the Union address was the CIA's mistake, and that Bush didn't know the assertion about weapons of mass destruction was untrue, the question then becomes, why didn't he know? When the President gives an address, especially the State of the Union address, the only presidential speech that is mandated by the U.S. Constitution, he's supposed to know what he's talking about. And that doesn't mean parroting a script stuck under his nose. Presidential speech writers are supposed to assist the President in articulating his message, not direct the President to articulate their message. Were Bush an intelligent, educated, engaged President, he should have understood national security issues well enough to have instantly questioned the text of the speech. He's obviously oblivious. At best, Bush can claim to be totally incompetent. At worst, he is the lying SOB any intelligent person can see that he is. And given that the result of his speech was dragging the United States into an immoral, unnecessary war, costing billions of dollars and thousands of lives, his offense is minimally impeachable, and rightfully treasonable. Diane in Florida. Yeah, you're right, Diane. So what are we going to do about it? Probably not much. Today, I don't know how many of you watched Tony Blair address the U.S. Congress, joint session of Congress, and everybody. It looked like a State of the Union address. You have to give Tony Blair this. He's one hell of an orator. Or the comparison, when you compare and contrast George Bush to someone who understands the words that are put in front of him. And I'm sure Tony Blair had a hand in writing those words. Whereas George Bush, whatever they give him in 3- and 4-word chunks, he just stands up there and parrots. But you have to give Tony Blair that. Tony Blair is a lying son of a bitch just like George Bush is. And Tony Blair is probably going to lose his government just like George Bush will. But Tony Blair is great to watch. Boy, it was a real stem winder, wasn't it? That was one hell of a speech. It just made me proud to be an American. That's what he was talking about, America. Of course, most of what he was talking about that made me proud to be an American is gone now, thanks to George Bush. But it was one hell of a speech. They have to keep in mind, back in England, there are three, count them, three investigations going on about Tony Blair's complicity in the lies that sent that country to war. But boy, he gave a speech today. Ooh, what a speech. And then they had a joint press conference. Tony Blair went to the White House, and Too Stupid to Be President and Tony Blair each had a podium, and they each gave their speech. You probably saw it. And then they took two or three questions. And once again, Bush, with his schoolyard bully answers, his ugliness, his nastiness, how dare you ask me a question kind of attitude, was in direct contrast to, even though Tony Blair is in it up to his eyeballs just like Bush is, at least Tony Blair has a little bit of flair, a little bit of intelligence, well, more than a little bit. I don't mean to run the guy down. He's quite bright, as a matter of fact. But he has a flair. He can understand a compound sentence. He doesn't try to bowl over the questioner. He's scamming the press and the public just like Bush is, but you got to admire Tony Blair's ability to scam. Is he oily? No, he's not oily. He's just slick. He's smooth. Like Clinton. Blair and Clinton. I mean, when Bill Clinton would talk, even though you knew he was blowing smoke, bless his heart, old Bill Clinton, right? And I don't care what the topic was. I don't care if it was a death penalty or why Bill Clinton decided to increase the number of sentences or crimes on the federal level punishable by death, or why Bill Clinton rationalized and justified locking people up for marijuana charges, or why and how Bill Clinton justified his so-called welfare reform or the pushing of NAFTA. Or Monica Lewinsky. I don't care. When Bill Clinton spoke, you just went, oh, Bill, by God, you show the way, pal. I'm coming right behind you. That's Tony Blair. When George Bush talks, you just want to leave the room. He's such an inarticulate, stupid man. Plus, Bill Clinton's policies didn't, not a single American soldier died as a result of Bill Clinton's actions. In 8 years, not one, not a single one. Now, we don't know how many Afghanis or Iraqis died because Clinton was pretty loosey-goosey with the missiles. And we can only guess at how many people died in Yugoslavia as a result of the NATO action. But that was a NATO action, right? Huh? That was Clinton and Blair. But Bush, the sneaky devil that he is, the liar, the man who is unable to take responsibility, and that's what the visit from Tony Blair was all about today. Somebody to step in once again and bail out George W. Bush. Was it the Bin Laden family this time? No. Was it Saudi investors? No. Was it Texas investors about the Texas Rangers? No. Was it somebody buying our Busto oil? No. Was it somebody cutting him a deal so he could do his insider trading thing and get out and make a million? No. This time it was a prime minister of Great Britain. And here he was. Here he was. Now, a lot of people have said that Tony Blair is George's poodle. I disagree. It's just the other way around. It's just the other way around. Or you might say that Tony Blair is George Bush's wet nurse. That's where George Bush goes when he needs to be suckled. He goes to Tony Blair because Tony Blair can speak in a manner that makes you want to leap to your feet and applaud. And by the time you get to your feet and you're applauding Tony Blair, you're standing there going, well, wait a minute, what am I applauding? But there's something about his flair, his ability to Americans anyway. I think the Brits look at him and go, yeah, Tony, we understand. But there he was today addressing a joint session of Congress. Tony Blair, the latest recruit to take the flack for this stupid, uncurious George W. Bush. It's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they seen with their own eyes. It's amazing, propaganda.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when he does that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-four past the hour. We're at 800 talk, yes. One more. What do we got here? No, I got two more emails very quickly from our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, who's still recovering from some minor surgery. Chris writes in, this is in reference to people like Deion Sanders and George Bush and Pat Robertson, you know, and the rest of these people who say that God has spoken directly to them, right? Chris wants to know, how come God never tells any of these morons to take themselves into a closet somewhere and either drink themselves into a coma or do the world a favor and go crawl under a rock never to return? How come God never tells any of these mental midgets to take themselves on the Aboriginal walkabout, hopefully to be torn to pieces by dingoes? How come God never tells any of these jackasses to get a new slant on life and jump out of a plane without a parachute? I mean, if God is really that tight with them, so much so that they're on a message-sending basis, they'll survive, right? I think Chris might be getting a little cabin fever. That's a fair question. Deion Sanders says, well, God told me only pay $1,500 on that $4,000 bill. Oh, it's just crazy. God also tells George Bush whom to attack. From our Nashville Bureau Chiefess, Diane, today as I was doing my laundry, I felt a general malaise come over me, not from the dirty socks and towels, but from the realization that King George has severely dehumanized our country. And in my sadness, this phrase came into my mind. You don't fight dehumanization with dehumanization. You don't respond to the dehumanizing attacks on the World Trade Center by killing and dehumanizing innocent people in Afghanistan. You don't respond to the dehumanizing Saddam Hussein by killing and dehumanizing thousands of innocent Iraqi citizens and scores of American soldiers. You don't further dehumanize an overworked, overtaxed American population, depriving them of health care, decent education, and civil liberties to support a global killing machine. Along for the days when... Why get him dead or alive? And the killing of Saddam are not acceptable news headlines on our dehumanizing television. King George calls himself a Christian? Christ is crying, watching all of W's dehumanization. From Diane, our Nashville Bureau Chiefess. What else we got? Well, we got a couple more things, but let's go to Southside Carl, who's calling from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
To advisor.
Yes, I watched Tony Blair message the Congress this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and it was a great message. Only problem was the rhetoric was empty.
Yeah, well, didn't you want to just stand up and cheer? Didn't you wish that he was talking about our country now? Huh?
Hey, what really bothered me is it went to one thing that he was talking about, something about, well, let history show that even if we were wrong, that I guess he's trying to say something more or less that, well, if even possible, we made a mistake that, well, what we did was for the right reason and just
But see, it wasn't a mistake, and Tony Blair is crazier than a loon. I mean, how about if somebody decides to invade the British Isles? Because what if Germany decides that Tony Blair has missiles pointed at Berlin,
well,
and they have documents, forged documents to prove it, decide to invade London? Is that justified if history proves it wrong? Well, of course not. Hold on a second, Carl. I'll come back to you in a minute. You know what I'm saying about that. Of course you do. Stay with us. Quick break.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Striking hotel workers in Chicago are taking their protest into cyberspace this week. Workers at the Congress Plaza Hotel and Convention Center walked off the job on Tuesday after their employer refused to follow a citywide labor pact won last year, instead ordering employees to accept a 7% pay cut. Local 1 of the hotel employees and restaurant employees wants guests to avoid the 840-room hotel until the Congress agrees to a contract, and they're targeting the popular online travel company Orbitz, whose website invites travelers to stay in the hotel.
More good news for a year-long organizing campaign involving workers at a bulletproof vest factory in Florida. In January, a federal district court forced Point Blank Body Armor to rehire 175 workers who struck for the right to unionize in Fort Lauderdale. Yesterday, a National Labor Relations Board judge ruled Point Blank violated the rights of 3 workers it fired for organizing activities and ordered the company to pay them an estimated $300,000 in back wages and damages.
Managers of a Borders bookstore in suburban Chicago fired a known union supervisor this week, prompting union organizers to file a number of unfair labor practice charges with the National Labor Relations Board. The worker was ostensibly let go for allowing a performer to set up a tip jar in the store in violation of Borders policy, but union supporters say that managers have similarly broken that rule without repercussions, and they say the employees' support for the United Food and Commercial Workers was management's real motivation for the firing. A separate complaint charges that managers quizzed the worker about union activity during his termination interview, also in violation of the National Labor Relations Act.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We're talking with Southside Carl, who's called in from Chicago. Now, where were we? Bush and Blair today. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, well, this whole thing of, you know, of him putting it like that, it goes to something I mentioned to you last time I talked to you, and that's how a lot of people are trying to say, well, the ends justify the means.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saddam Hussein is gone, and that's all that matters. And you know, when I'm seeing this coming out of Blair, and like you said, he is a smart guy. And that, you know, it amazes me that people can't see the irony in some of the things that they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing of the ends justify the means, isn't that somewhat the way of thinking that the terrorists have?
Yeah.
That is okay. Well, hey.
Sure.
If we kill a bunch of people, the civilian or attack, you know,
mm-hmm.
These kind of targets or whatnot, that's okay because it just, our ears are, it's the only thing that matters, and how we go about doing it, that doesn't matter as long as we achieve our goal.
I know. If you look for consistency or ethics or morality in Bush's statements or now in Tony Blair's statements, you're on a fool's errand. You're just not going to find it. It's incredible what they have done, these two, in corrupting English, you know, the mother tongue for all of us. Tony Blair assists in the corruption of the English. George Bush no more can speak English than I can speak Peruvian. But it to watch them corrupt concepts, concepts of law and ethical conduct among nations, and it's incredible. And everybody gives Tony Blair standing ovations. Hell, I was giving him standing ovations because he's such a good speaker. But when you come out of the ether and realize what he's saying, it's just like, oh my God.
Well, I'm waiting for, you know, now they're telling us, well, we have to wait, we have to be patient. But I'm, you know, the list is just getting longer for me for all the things that haven't been accomplished. We went in Afghanistan, we're gonna get rid of the Taliban. I mean, the Al-Qaeda, well, we really didn't do that. We really didn't make the life of the Afghan people that much different than what it had been before the Taliban.
Well, we made it. We did, and arguably, we made it worse, not for Afghan women, but we have made it worse for the entire society, and now we're just cutting deals with the Taliban.
And this thing in Iraq, I mean, no one seems to be figured out that, well, a democracy there? I mean, come on. They had a socialist model for a reason, because they didn't have the ability to have an open a free market system.
And that socialist model was all that was standing between
poverty
and the mullahs.
And yeah, that also...
The Islamic...
Which is another thing that all these bright people don't seem to understand as well. Democracies have a certain inconsistency with the religious philosophies that is encompasses.
Oh, sure, sure. There's no democracy in Islam. Oh, really, there's no democracy in Christianity. You know, they are patriarchal. They are murderous religions. They insist on utter absolute obedience, or your eternal soul is cast into damnation. There's no such thing as democracy. Take a look at your local church, you know, Protestant or Catholic church in the Christian faith. Is that a democracy? I don't think so. Take a look at your local mosque. Is that democracy? No, I don't think so. Hell, take a look at your local Jewish temple. Is that democracy? No. These are patriarchal religions, all of them, that demand total obedience, no questioning, no getting out of line. And Saddam, pig that he was, the Ba'athist Party was a Russia communist organization that set up a form of governance as a bulkhead against these religious fundamentalists. And fine, the bulkhead is torn down now. Democracy, my ass. The day Iraq has democracy is the day they open a Dipper Dan franchise in hell. You know it, I know it.
Well, I'm just, like I said, I'm waiting for someone to start just going down the list of all the things that haven't been accomplished, haven't been proved true. And, you know, the list is just getting longer. And you got George Bush up there, and like you said, he's not making himself accountable to anyone.
Don't
ask me anything. I was amazed that I think that they might have took four questions, but
right.
I was like, the next thing I know, George Bush was telling Tony, "Oh, come on, let's get out of here."
Yeah, let's go have a drink. Hey, take it easy, Carl. Thanks for checking in, Pat.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Kaz is calling from Painesdale, Michigan, about the same topic, right, Kaz?
Yep.
All right, let her rip.
Oh, actually, I was listening to that and. I don't know if I heard it wrong, but when they let the reporters
right,
question him,
right?
George Bush was saying something there. A reporter asked him about the weapons of mass destruction, and I thought I heard Bush with a slip of the tongue.
You did.
He said, "Of course we'll bring them in."
Right.
Of course we'll find them.
Right. I heard it too. I was sitting there watching that, and I just went, "Uh-huh, there it is."
Well, you did.
Oh yeah, I heard the same thing.
Oh, great. I was hoping because I didn't, you know, when I was listening to it, I didn't, you know.
No, that's exactly what he said.
Exactly what he said. Of course we'll bring them.
Yeah.
Of course we'll bring them.
No, we'll find them.
When we find a way to
right.
sneak, you know, when we can sneak them in there.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. With Bush, though, you know, this is the same jackass who said just a few days ago that Saddam Hussein would not let the inspectors in. So when he makes a statement like that, when he says God tells him to invade countries, I mean, you have to realize he is insane. And in a way, he shouldn't be held responsible. He should be removed from office and put in a safe place where he won't harm himself, where he won't cause death and destruction on two foreign countries and the death of God knows how many Americans. He should be put away. But the statements that he makes, these are the statements of an irrational man. These are the statements of somebody who doesn't who has no idea really what he's saying and doesn't care what the consequences of his words are. When he says, bring them on, and the next day we have six Americans killed, that doesn't mean anything to George Bush. He couldn't care less. He couldn't care less. But he needs to be removed from office. He needs to be sent someplace where he can do no further harm.
Oh, there's no doubt. But
like a prison.
I just get the... With the people I like to trade barbs with, I mean, it's ridiculous. No matter what you ask them, you know, ask them to defend Bush. They can't.
All they
can come back is on Clinton. And I was talking to one of the fellows in I belong to a vet group up here, but I'm a Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, one of these guys, and he went all the way back to Jack Kennedy. You know, Jack Kennedy was probably, I said, worse than what? He's old with these sex scandals.
Oh my God!
I said, well, wait a minute. I said, now you're telling me all these Republicans are morphodites? And he looked at me, he says, well, what do you mean Republicans are morphodites? Well, you're telling me all these Democrats have had all these sex scandals, but these Republicans don't have any sex? They must be all morphodites.
You're cracking me up, Cass. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, pal.
You betcha.
All right, sir.
Hang in there, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. Appreciate it. Take care. Here's what Bush said today specifically when he was asked about the weapons of mass destruction. This is what Kaz was referring to. Bush said, but we will bring the weapons, and of course, we will bring the information forward on the weapons when we find them, when they find them. But there it is. Now, if that were Clinton, every right-wing, knuckle-dragging, filthy Republican in Congress, media, and in the general public would say, see, we will bring the weapons, see? But Bush says it. Or Bush says God told him to invade Afghanistan and Iraq. Or Bush says Saddam Hussein wouldn't allow the inspectors in. And nobody says anything. Oh, a couple of Democratic politicians might bring it up on the floor of the Senate or the House, but that's it. Dana Milbank might refer to it just obliquely in the Washington Post, but that's it. That's it. Of course, we talk about it, don't we? God tells George whom to invade, what countries to invade. Saddam Hussein would not allow inspectors in, and that's why we attacked. And George Bush will bring the weapons of mass destruction into Iraq. And we sit back on our collective asses and just say, well, you know, yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy. He's worse than crazy, this guy. He's worse than crazy. The collage of Ari Fleischer statements we'll do in about 45 minutes. We'll do it at 9:30 the next hour. You got to hear this. It runs about 7 minutes. And we'll also, it'll be at White Rose, and I think Mark will probably post it at our website. We'll have it at the website for you. U.S. military is not reporting something. It's coming from other sources. Several mysterious diseases are reported among a number of American troops within the vicinity of Baghdad Airport. That's a military source closely related to NATO has revealed. It says U.S. soldiers deployed around Baghdad Airport started showing symptoms of a fever, itching, scars, and dark brown spots on the skin. The source, who refused to be named, said in a statement published today, July 17th, by a newspaper in Saudi Arabia. So, it may all be lies, but here's what it says. The NATO source asserted that three soldiers who suffered these symptoms did not respond to medical treatment in Iraqi hospitals and were flown to Washington for medication. The military source reported a media blackout by U.S. officials to hide this information from the public. Now, the Americans involved here claimed the symptoms and the mysterious diseases were the result of exposure to the sun, which U.S. troops are not used to. Now, okay, you can believe that. Or you can question why that is being given as an explanation for these symptoms, which NATO experts tend to believe result from direct exposure to nuclear radiation from the sophisticated B-2 bombs used in the war on Iraq, particularly in striking the Iraqi Republican Guard forces who deployed to defend the Baghdad airport. Now, the source says, the military source stressed that the shrouds of secrecy imposed by American officials on the issue were prompted by fears of creating waves of panic and anger among the troops, particularly after announcements that American troops would remain in Iraq indefinitely. Now, compare this to what American troops were told about Agent Orange, the defoliant, the toxic environmental poison that we dumped all over Vietnam, and aside from the hundreds of thousands of deaths, God knows how many deformed children of both Vietnamese and Americans subsequent to the use of that stuff. Regardless of the horror that Agent Orange has visited upon not just Americans but also Southeast Asians. Regardless of all that, the U.S. military, the U.S. Defense Department, the U.S. government, for the most part, for years, for decades now. So now what? What are you doing? It's safe. Hey, man, no big deal. It's safe. You know. Now think about depleted uranium. The source said that NATO experts measured levels of radioactive pollution in Iraq and confirmed there were levels of radioactive pollution to the degree that it would have an impact on humans and the environment that may... excuse me, that may lead to risks suffered by generations to come. Now, we know what the half-life of depleted uranium is. We know that the former Yugoslavia is saturated with depleted uranium. Serbia, Yugoslavia, Bosnia. We know that Afghanistan, where the fighting occurred, is saturated with depleted uranium. And now Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction. He gassed his own people. Yada, yada, yada. On April 25th, the Observer of London quoted military sources as affirming that depleted uranium shells and bombs used by U.S. and British troops during the attack on Iraq were five times more than the number used during the 1991 Gulf War. That's when depleted uranium first popped into a people's consciousness, the George Bush the First war against Iraq. Depleted uranium. Five times as much depleted uranium used this time as used the last time in Iraq. The Pentagon had admitted in 1991 that it had used about 350 tons of depleted uranium in 1991. 350 times 5 is 1,750 tons of depleted uranium dumped on Iraq this time. Now, aside from the death and destruction and deformed children that this is going to cause to the Iraqi people, think of the Americans. If we cannot bring ourselves, and I know you can and I can too, but if most Americans cannot bring themselves to consider the death and destruction and deformity that we blast into other societies with our weapons, at least consider the Americans. At least consider the 140,000 troops. At least consider the people who are in a combat situation, who are pounding the ground where these weapons were dropped, where every time they take a step in the sandy, dusty country where depleted uranium was used, they are kicking this stuff up and they are inhaling it. They're taking it into their lungs and their livers and their gonads. And think about when these American soldiers come home and impregnate their wives and then start to give birth, the women start to give birth a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. And we start to see the same thing that Gulf War I veterans have seen with the deformed children, with the cancers that are developing within them. And then we get to see, once again, another tidal wave of horrendous deformities in Iraq, where children are born without a head, where children are born with a head but no brain, where children are born without a spine, where children are born with four arms. And we talk about Saddam Hussein gassed his own people.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
Doug Stephan's good.
on the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
To talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's about five before the hour. Don't forget, middle of the next hour, we're going to play this collage of Ari Fleischer Lies, which you may or may not find very entertaining. Tracy's calling from Silver Springs, Maryland. Hey, Tracy. Yo, Tracy. Is Tracy there? I guess not. Let me put Tracy's phone back on hold. And we'll see if we can pick her up in a moment. Oh, okay. Is she back? Okay, let's try it again. Hey, Tracy.
Hello, Mr. Malloy. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't fall asleep this time. I apologize.
That's okay.
I just wanted to say that I don't know where Tony Blair is coming from, and he has baffled me because, quite frankly, had Al Gore been the president, and we know that this wouldn't have been a war, he wouldn't have been gung-ho about this. So I don't understand where he's coming from.
I don't either. And Tony Blair and George Bush are I don't think I've ever seen two people entirely different politically. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm here.
I don't think I've seen two people who are more politically different than Tony Blair and George Bush. Tony Blair is Labor Party. George Bush is a fascist.
Yeah.
Tony Blair comes out
this
of a par-
absolutely crazy.
Tony Blair comes out of a parliamentary system. George Bush stole his election. So I don't understand what Tony, like you, I don't understand what Tony Blair gains from having anything to do with Bush.
Absolutely. He is so incredibly in hot water in his own country.
Mm-hmm.
It's just totally nuts.
Well, some cynics emailed me and said, well, what Blair gets out of it is when he leaves office, he'll get a seat on the Carlyle Group board of directors.
Right.
But I call me naive. I just don't see somebody like Tony Blair being that venal, greedy, that filthy.
Do you know what? The thing is, Mike, is that even in his arguments, when you listen to him and when you've always listened to him, he sounds more incredibly moral than W does. Incredibly moral.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but
so,
you know, we're beginning to see, or I'm beginning to think, that that's an act because,
yeah.
You know, Tony Blair still says that the information given to him was absolutely true when the entire world now knows
exactly
that it was not. So,
yeah. I don't know. I don't know. What that is about.
It's all a mystery. Hey, Tracy, I want you to stay tuned because coming up in about half an hour, we're going
to
play this
Ari Fleischer.
Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right, you too. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is is Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Three Democratic candidates for president apologized today at the NAACP convention in Miami Beach for not making an appearance. Senator Joe Lieberman and Representatives Dennis Kucinich and Dick Gephardt flew to South Florida to apologize for not attending the convention's presidential forum on Monday. Lieberman's apology came after NAACP President Kwesi Mfume lashed out at the trio, saying they were taking the black vote for granted.
In not coming Monday, I was wrong. I regret it, and I apologize for it.
Six other candidates did attend the convention earlier, but President Bush was a no-show as well. The NAACP, based in Baltimore, attacked the Bush administration on tax cuts and education. Public pressure continues for unpopular Hong Kong leader Tung Chee Hwa to step down. Two key cabinet ministers have already resigned from their posts in an attempt to stabilize the territory, which has been in turmoil since anti-government protests were held a few weeks ago. Celia Hatton has the story from Beijing.
Critics are calling for the immediate resignation of Hong Kong's appointed leader, Tung Chee Hwa. Despite the back-to-back resignations of two unpopular cabinet ministers, Tung remains under fire for Hong Kong's dismal unemployment figures and for his attempts at passing new laws that many Hong Kong residents say will limit their political freedoms. Tung will fly to Beijing to meet with Chinese leaders on Saturday, where he is expected to give suggestions for new cabinet members and ultimately how he will keep the Hong Kong government moving, despite growing political unrest. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
Still using Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra? Then be aware, because this year many prescription plans are raising the copayment cost of your allergy medicine. So why pay more when those medicines are approved to treat fewer triggers? Ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. 99% of prescription plans cover Flonase, and Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. Allergy medicines costing you more? Simply ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
A tentative agreement has been reached between Penn State Hershey Center and the union representing more than 600 food, maintenance, and support staff. Hospital spokesman Sean Young says much of the work on the deal was hammered out yesterday and into the night, but it was this morning that negotiators for the union and the hospital shook hands on a new four-year deal.
It's consistent with where we've been from the beginning. I mean, our goal all along has really been to secure a contract that would treat our non-union and our Teamster represented employees in an equitable manner. And we think this is a fair and reasonable agreement that is really a win-win for both the union and for the medical center.
It was just a week ago that the rank and file overwhelmingly rejected a contract offer, but both sides returned to the bargaining table Monday. Members of Teamsters Local 776 will vote on this tentative deal next Tuesday. Union leaders are expected to encourage the membership to support it.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
The fire on the grounds of the St. Louis Gateway Arch is under control. St. Louis Fire Chief Sherman George says the fire took a long time to put out.
The fire was in the underground vault, electrical underground vault. Had three transformers were on fire. It took over an hour and 15 minutes before we could extinguish the fire because it took a while to figure out for the power company to determine which lines to shut down.
The blaze broke out shortly before noon local time at the north leg of the arch. All of the visitors inside the Gateway Arch and the Underground Museum were evacuated safely. Some people were stuck in two tram cars after the first fire broke out, but Chief George says the generators came on to bring them all down safely. A down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 44 points to 9051. The NASDAQ was down 50 to 1698. The S&P 500 lost 12 to 982. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. It's raining cats and dogs. You're slowing down, being careful, but you hit a wet patch, and there you go, hydroplaning. Now, what causes it, and what can you do about it? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, but they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When tires meet road water, they can do two things. Channel the water and remain on pavement, or skim on top of the water. Hydroplaning occurs when tires, especially bald ones, ride on a wedge of water and lose contact with the road. Your car is literally skiing in the street. When this happens, take your foot off the gas, but don't brake. Braking can cause your car, and sometimes you, to spin out of control. But the best way to hedge against hydroplaning is to equip your car with well-treaded tires. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We will be off, we being both Kathy and me, tomorrow and the work week next week. So 6 working days in a row, we will not be here. Substituting for me will be Charlie Langton and, I believe, Curtis Ellis. And anybody else they can Shanghai off the street and bring in here. Well, not in here. They'll be doing it from other parts of the country. But just wanted to let you know. So if you tune in tomorrow night and I'm not here, don't go, oh, my God. All right. The Enron trial, the class action lawsuits filed against former Enron executives and the banks and the law firms and the accounting firms that the company worked with in order to perpetrate the largest corporate fraud in America's history. That trial date for this massive class action lawsuit has been set, October 17th, 2005. Well, of course, you didn't think they would have this in an election year, did you? In Texas? Enron? Ken Lay? Huh? Bush? The crime family? A judge down there, a U.S. District Court judge, has decided, well, we got to do this, and you got to do that, and then that, and then this. So October 17th, 2005. Now, it remains to be seen whether all these cases will actually make it to trial. Civil cases like this usually are settled long before they ever make it to court in order to protect the guilty. But, I saw this. It's in the Houston Chronicle. I just thought to myself, Enron trial ready to go in 2005. Uh-huh. Okay. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. I've just been enjoying watching this thing. It's been just amazing to watch the Spin Masters, how every time, ever since the ambassador Murphy was spoke. How every time that anybody talks about what he said, they keep changing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's interesting how some of them are actually starting to ask some. I don't know why. It must be the sunspots. Some of the media are actually starting to ask, you know, what did Cheney know?
Right, right.
Isn't it amazing how for the last week he's really been the invisible man?
Yeah, he was sitting out there behind Tony Blair today when Tony Blair gave his speech at joint session of Congress. But he is inscrutable. He's like a, no offense to our Buddhist listeners, but he's like a Buddha. He just kind of sits there. You cannot read anything on his face. He is an automaton. He has no soul, no ethics, no morality, no core. So he just sits there. And applauds when the applause lines come, and then he disappears back into the hole where he actually runs the United States government.
Well, it's just interesting to watch him. They're talking now. Let's see. No one mentions Cheney by name. It's either been Scooter,
Libby, right,
or Hatfield, or all these things. It's amazing to watch it sort of like a pachinko, watching it go down the levels.
Right.
Not this one, it's this one, it's this one, it's this one. Eventually it's going to be somebody, I figure, somewhere in Idaho that actually did this.
Right.
You know, sitting at some part of the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
It's amazing. One thing I wanted to remind you, since you're going to be gone, is this weekend, I think, is the Bill Maher thing.
Oh, that's right.
So I've been loving that commercial, and I would start to see him on TV all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, because you got to think he's got to have a whole lot on this.
Yeah, we're going to have to tune it in. Providing they have, is it on HBO?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Does my sister have HBO, Kathy? We're going to be staying at my sister's house. So
they'll probably repeat. You know how they are. They'll repeat something for the next month.
That's true.
But I think he's about to restart his talk show.
Yeah,
he's just about to start off on his new season, so to speak.
I think so.
But like I say, one of your earlier callers said, could you imagine if this, like say, I've seen two or three articles over the last year. Could you imagine if this was a President Gore? By now, they'd already have the scaffold built.
Oh, sure. Well, of course, if it were President Gore, which it should have been, none of this ever would have happened. None of it.
But of course, I can't think who it was. Somebody about 6 months ago wrote something and was talking about, went over essentially the last 2 years of what would happen if it had been a President Gore.
Mm-hmm.
How every step that they made, you know, starting all the way back, I think, by stem cell research.
Yeah, yeah. I think I read that.
And that so showed how every step that George Bush has made, if it had been a President Gore, every step of the way he'd have been hounded.
Well, I remember what Ralph Nader said. There no difference.
No difference.
No difference between Gore and Bush.
And I'll be honest, until he comes out and apologizes for that, he can sit there and whistle in the wind.
Okay.
But hey, you have a good vacation, Mike.
Thanks,
you
Luke.
Deserve it.
Thanks, Luke. Take care. Appreciate your call, sir. I'm not trying to pick a fight with any Greens. Okay, I'm not trying to pick a fight. So don't get your back up when I say, and Ralph Nader said there was no difference. Nader was speaking from a philosophical point of view on, I assume, on the Republican and Democratic parties, and to a large extent he's right. But there's a difference between Gore and Bush. Bush is a criminal. Bush is a stupid man with a criminal mind from a criminal family, and Al Gore isn't. That's all. I mean, just start there. This popped up the other day. The Clintons are going to have to pay almost all of their Whitewater legal fees. U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia authorized that the Clintons would get a payment of about $85,000. The Clintons had sought $3.5 million to pay their legal bills. Now, these costs all come from the Whitewater investigation, which took 7 years and cost the government $70 million. And there were 24 indictments, 16 convictions, none of them around Clinton. Clinton was indicted. That means he was impeached. But that was because there was a vendetta. There was a poisonous, hate-filled vendetta to get him. In making their decision, the three-judge panel rejected the Clintons' argument that they would never have faced a process like this had it not been for the fact that they were the president and the first lady. The court said, quote, "We have no doubt that in the absence of the independent counsel statute, the allegations surrounding the Clintons, Madison Guaranty, and Whitewater would have been similarly investigated and prosecuted by the Department of Justice." Now, that's according to the three-judge panel that issued the ruling. Think about that statement for a second. A cheesy little land development down in Arkansas that never went anywhere, and the Clintons lost money on. These three bastardly judges want you and me to believe that had this been Abe Snake and his wife, Harriet, who had lost, what'd they lose? 30 grand, 10 grand, 100 grand, who knows anymore? In a land deal in Texas, that they would have been pursued by the Justice Department the way the Clintons were? Oh, stop it. Now, here's the interesting part. This court that issued, this three-judge panel that issued this ruling today, this is the same three-judge panel that appointed Ken Starr to take over the investigation in 1994. This is the same three-judge panel that then authorized Ken Starr to investigate matters surrounding Monica Lewinsky. And they ruled the other day that the Clintons were not any different from anybody else, and therefore they had no claim for the government paying their legal costs. Now, you know this to be true. You know this to be true. The Republicans want a law that if you sue a corporation and lose, you pay all the costs. So here, a corporation named the United States government sued the Clintons and lost. But the Republicans, you see, this is part of tort reform. The Republicans want it worked out so that if somebody institutes a lawsuit, and it doesn't make any difference what the lawsuit is. If you see a company, let's pretend, over here on the edge of town, and they're dumping lead toxins into a stream, and you stand there and you look at it, and you file a lawsuit against them, well, in the first place, you're going to get a slap suit against you for, trespassing on their property. And then if you take them to court and you lose because a stacked court full of Republican Federalists who say, well, screw you, John Q. Citizen, what business do you have coming after a corporation? And they rule against you. You wind up with all the costs. This is what the Republicans want. But where concerns the Clintons? No. Now, is this consistent? Of course not. Of course not. In the first place, the Clintons said they didn't want any reimbursement for anything having to do with the Lewinsky part of the investigation. But remember, this went on for 7 years. Okay. Now, David Kendall, who represented both the Clintons, issued a statement saying former President Ronald Reagan was reimbursed for 72% of his legal costs stemming from the Iran-Contra investigation. And Iran-Contra resulted in tens of thousands of people dying in Central America. Ronald Reagan, mass murderer, and the pissant thugs that ran his government, they got away with mass murder, and Ronald Reagan got 72% of his legal costs reimbursed. George Herbert Walker Bush, same investigation, he was reimbursed 60% of his costs. But the Clintons? The Clintons got 2% of their request for Whitewater costs. David Kendall said, the facts and the numbers speak for themselves. The good news is that the partisan Whitewater smoke and mirrors investigation is finally over. In 1996, Ronald Reagan was awarded $562,111 in legal fees after an appeals court said he had reason to believe that he faced a realistic possibility of being indicted in the Iran-Contra investigation, which was led by an independent counsel. Reagan had asked for $777,000. Well, not Reagan. His mind was peanut butter by then. But his attorney had asked for $750,000. They got $500,000. Bush, Herbert, got $272,352 for his costs connected to the crimes he committed. Now, of course, oh, my God. Bill Clinton's mighty, mighty penis is the reason that they got 2% of what they asked for reimbursement legal fees. These Republicans are so fixated on Bill Clinton's crotch. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Maybe that's why all the Republicans run around screaming about same-sex marriage and homosexual this and homosexual that. You know, let's put a stop to it. Let's end the queers, end the gays, do this, do that. Because they cannot handle the fact that they all are enamored with Bill Clinton's private parts. So something comes up like this, and they say, well, you go ahead. You have to pay your bills. Ronald Reagan didn't have to, and George Herbert Herbert didn't have to. And, of course, they were involved in a scam, trading with the enemy, missiles to the enemy, and mass murder. Mass murder, good. Having an affair with you, with one of the interns who work in your office, bad.
Cheney's heart pumping 40 ways.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
Where are you now that we need you, Ken Starr?
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's and on money buddies. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they get whining about Clinton lowered the moral bar. Where are you now that we need you?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
I got a note from the swell folks at Fleet, my credit card company. Actually, not a note, but a notice. This notice is to advise you that the following arbitration provision will be added to your cardholder agreement. It cheerfully began. I thought, arbitration. What needs arbitrating? So I squinted at the tiny print they used in this little four-page notice, which had no eye-catching graphics, no whimsical colors, and none of the chatty style you find in other bill stuffers that the companies really want you to, well, notice. Indeed, it's as though Fleet didn't truly want me to notice this notice. But I thought, don't be cynical. So I plunged into the prose. This arbitration provision will apply to all claims. Claims? Like what? Down in the fine print, Fleet told me. Sort of. The term claim means any claim, dispute, or controversy between you and us arising from or related to this agreement, any prior agreement that you may have had with us or another credit card issuer from whom we acquired your credit card account, or the relationships resulting from the agreement of any prior agreement, including yada, yada, yada. Whoa, I said aloud, trying to uncross my eyes. What's the bottom line here? Then I found it. Fleet's notice practically shouted that if I filed any kind of claim against it for fraud, false advertising, invasion of privacy, or whatever, it could deny me, quote, the right to litigate that claim in court or have a jury trial on that claim. Instead, I'd have to go to an arbitration firm of Fleet's choosing and, quote, the arbitrator's decision will be final, even though rights that you would have had if you went to court may not be available in arbitration, and the fees charged by the administration may be higher than the fees charged by a court. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop these corporate sneak attacks on our constitutional rights to a trial by jury, call Trial Lawyers for Public Justice, 202-797-8600.
Thank you.
full helping of the truth, here's Mike.
Twenty-four past the hour. Mark emails in. I've got to share this with you. He's listening on radiopower.org in Boise, Idaho. He says, hi, Mike. Listening in Boise, Idaho, the most conservative state in the USA. I rebroadcast your program using my tiny FM can adapter transmitter and listen to the radio and pretend there is balance to the extreme right-wing talk radio shows here. Anyway, Bill Clinton, best Republican president of all time. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. 11 famous words. George Bush, worst Republican president of all time. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa. 16 famous words. One stayed within a personal relationship, affected three people, and didn't even cause a divorce, did not harm any children, but enough for Republicans to impeach. The other one is 16 words involved and affected the entire world, killed thousands of wives, husbands, and children, not including our sons and daughters, defending Bush's Bring 'em On challenge, but Republicans want us to ignore it. If someone prayed to put voices in my head, would not I become schizophrenic? I suppose since Bush and Pat Robertson hear voices in their heads telling them what to do and kill, everybody else should do it too. My voices tell me, impeach, impeach, impeach. Thank you, Mark. Mike is calling from Mountain Park, Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. My initial comment was, I wonder what it's like in the Carville Maitland house right now.
I wonder what it was like back during the attack on Clinton. How did Carville and Mary Matlin get along back then? Or at the first part of this criminal administration, when Mary Matlin went to work as Dick Cheney's, legal counsel, I think.
Well, she's coming back for spin control here.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm referring to, is I wonder if he, you know, tried to get her not to go. And then we need to have a Catherine Hughes watch down in Crawford. You know, Shrub is all tired out from Africa and Tony, and he's heading to Crawford, and we need to make sure that Catherine shows up, because I'm sure she'll be there. I admit it, today I was listening, channel surfing on the radio as I drove around to the Limbaugh show. He had a substitute, Roger, I think this is the guy that used to be mayor of San Diego.
Uh-huh.
Forget the guy's name. Some young man was on there. Maybe you've heard of this book. He gave about half an hour to this kid who wrote a book called Destroying the Village. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
It is, the subtitle is How the Clintons Influenced a 17-year-old.
Oh, my God.
And it is how the lying, cheating, and immorality has affected an entire generation.
Aw, really?
And it was incredible.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible.
I wonder if there'll be a 17-year-old who will write how the death and destruction and ending of democracy and murder, mass murder of the Bush administration, if that stunted his growth.
Well, actually, my thought was that some young man would write a book about how he was going to avoid the responsibility after hearing Shrub say that, not say that he would take responsibility for those words.
Right.
He danced around that today.
Oh,
for
didn't he?
Five minutes.
Wasn't that disgusting?
It was crazy.
It was just disgusting.
I emailed you the other day. I haven't seen this in anywhere. I finally saw it on the Washington Times site. About the hoax of the ambassador's letter. Did you hear about that one?
I read what you sent me, yeah.
They got an email from an ambassador slamming the State Department, bureaucracy, appeasers, leftists.
Yeah, trying to get old Colin Powell, Turns out, and Washington,
hoax.
Yeah, Washington Times published it, I believe, and they had their retraction today.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But is that anywhere in the liberal media?
I don't think so.
But then another thing was that was ironic, and I said this.
Mike, let me put you on hold because we got to take a break here. I'll come back and pick you up on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Ari Fleischer coming up too. I'm Mike Malloy.
Washington, they had to run. States' rights just weren't that much fun. Don't you hate that crap? They
just keep lying all the time. Could just keep lying all the time.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Public land is woven into the founding principles of the United States, according to the former head of the Forest Service. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Control of land to the west was a sticking point between the 13 original American colonies. Maryland refused to sign the Articles of Confederation unless the other colonies relinquished their western holdings. All finally agreed, and the rest is history. Michael Dombeck says this agreement to share control over the frontier established the precedent for federal ownership of land.
Since that time, particularly the western states, one of the things they were required to do as a part of being admitted to statehood was to relinquish claims to unappropriated lands in their states.
Dombeck is the former chief of the U.S. Forest Service and co-author of a new book, From Conquest to Conservation. He says federal control over certain lands is in the charter of each state, and he rejects the claim, common in many western states, that the federal government should give the land back to the states.
The fact is, it was never theirs to begin with.
The U.S. Supreme Court agrees, rejecting state claims over federal lands as recently as 10 years ago. Dombeck says the federal lands are woven into America's history, sometimes in obscure ways.
Few people realize that Abraham Lincoln was the first president to set aside land for aesthetic values. And he did this on July 1st, 1864, when he signed a proclamation turning over part of Yosemite to the state of California for preservation. And, of course, this later became part of Yosemite National Park. And here we are in the heat of the Civil War. We have this president that's not really known for conservation at all, that realized the value of public land.
That's Michael Dombeck, author of From Conquest to Conservation. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are talking with Mike, who's called in from Mountain Park, Georgia, near Atlanta. Where were we?
Well, I just have two more pieces of evidence that it probably is the end of the world with all that's going on.
Okay.
The first one is that the funniest thing in the world lately was those racing wieners in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The other day when that guy got hit, you know. And
right.
So, you know, why are wieners racing? But the second one was when the woman showed up with the documents to show that the nominee for the appeals court here in Atlanta, the Attorney General of Alabama,
right,
had in fact solicited campaign contributions from somebody he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
They're prosecuting her. Republicans want to prosecute her for taking the documents.
For keeping the documents.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that story right after we do Ari Fleischer. It was in the Post, Washington Post today. It's just unbelievable. There's some stuff in the article that you're talking about that I have just got to get to that is just mind-boggling. This criminal, this prior... What's his first name?
Is it Mark?
Richard? No. Not Richard.
Mark is a senator from Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, I've got it here. I just don't have it immediately.
Richard Pryor. No, that's
the comedian. but it's just incredible what these people did. Six Republican attorneys general from six different states notifying people who were going to have lawsuits filed against them that these corporations had better contribute to the Republican Attorney General's Association. And they want to put Pryor, they want to make Pryor, William Pryor, put William Pryor on the U.S. Court of Appeals.
Well, and now of course they're parsing it is. By saying that the corporations really weren't headquartered in Alabama.
Yeah, so that makes it okay.
Right.
That makes it okay. All right.
Mike, thanks for all you do. You're doing a great job.
Thanks for...
We got to do something about this.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Mike. Thanks for checking in, pal. All right, appreciate it. All right, now before we get to the story that Mike's talking about, and it is just so disgusting. The Republicans are destroying everything in this country, including our system of justice, as shaky and tattered and shredded as it is. They're destroying it. Have I mentioned tonight, 10:35 here in the East, have I mentioned tonight that I hate these people? I haven't? Okay, I just did. All right, Ari the Liar. We want you to hear this. The sound kind of, some of the sound is a little bit rough, but this is stuff that we have collected, just a sampling of the stuff that we have collected out of Ari Fleischer's lying, filthy mouth.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. The president made it perfectly plain about what actions the Taliban needed to take in order to avoid the fate that they have chosen for themselves. The United States, in the wake of an attack on our country, will defend itself. And as a result of defending ourselves, you can see what is happening in Afghanistan. The United States military will, of course, take every step to minimize the loss of innocence. We are very proud of the fact that force is applied to military targets and innocents are protected. War is war, regardless of the means with which it is carried out. It all involves the taking of lives. Civilian casualties are also, unfortunately, a reflection of war. They know exactly what the administration is doing. We're at war. This war is totally unlike those which have come before. This is the first war of the 21st century. This is a new type of war. Very often in the war on terrorism, we are not going to have exact, down to the detail, precise information. We're going to have somewhat generalized information. The people of Enron, the leaders of Enron, took advantage of the people of Enron. The president is deeply concerned about the criminal wrongdoing that has been alleged to have taken place in this case by Enron. The administration is going to continue to pursue this to get to the bottom of any criminal wrongdoing at Enron. I suggest to you that there is no hint there of any wrongdoing. You're asking the question about whether or not there was any contact in the administration to discuss whether Enron's collapse would have broader implications on the economy. It may have. So what? Well, you know, I really just have to say that for all these reports of drip, 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 everything seems to keep coming up dry, dry, dry. The suit is without merit, and as you indicate, this is a suit filed vis-a-vis Halliburton. And it's appropriate to address any further questions to Halliburton. There's a mix-up with attorneys. It remains a mix-up with the attorneys. We've given you every explanation possible. I really think the public does not share the judgment that there is somehow some political malfeasance here. This somehow notion of a shadow government, that's a misnomer. We had information prior to September 11th that could have allowed us to stop this attack. Does anybody possibly think there's anybody in the government who would not have wanted and would not have acted to stop the attack? You don't have to make a direct linkage between Saddam Hussein and 9/11 to know that others who are planning can try to do it again, Saddam Hussein included. We do indeed have concerns about a country that is awash in gas and in oil. Iraq, unlike Afghanistan, is a rather wealthy country. No, there's no truth to that, that we would divide up the oil fields. The entire notion is nothing but nonsense. It's the stuff of conspiracy theories, and I don't deal in that. Cost of one bullet. The Iraqi people take it on themselves. It's substantially less than that. Regime change is welcome in whatever form it takes. Al-Qaeda is operating inside Iraq. The risk is that Al-Qaeda operating in Iraq does present a security threat. On the ties to Al-Qaeda, I think that's been well documented and known. We know that there are operatives of Al-Qaeda operating inside Baghdad. Saddam Hussein continues to refuse to allow weapons inspectors into Iraq. We have an ongoing concern about whether or not Saddam Hussein will be able to acquire nuclear weapons. There's no question that he is in pursuit of them. Nobody, but nobody thinks the United States went to war with Iraq because Saddam Hussein may or may not have pursued uranium from Africa. How many Americans will die if Saddam Hussein is successful in acquiring the nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction that he seeks? Iraq has weapons of mass destruction of biological and chemical nature. We have high confidence that they have weapons of mass destruction, and we have high confidence it will be found. But make no mistake, we maintain high confidence that they have it and it will be found. Nothing has changed our confidence that they will be found. We continue to have confidence that WMD will be found. We have high confidence that Iraq did indeed have weapons of mass destruction. We continue to have high confidence that the weapons of mass destruction will be found. We have found the bio trucks that can be used only for the purpose of producing biological weapons. That's proof perfect. Proof perfect that they had them. Proof that they have weapons of mass destruction. People are experiencing the joy of being liberated. It's an overwhelming majority of the Iraqi people express their gratitude for having the Americans there. Iraqi people are overwhelmingly pleased with the fact that the United States has helped them to get rid of the Saddam Hussein regime. That was clear from their dancing in the streets. The job of the press corps is to try to find out everything you possibly can about everything under the sun. And I try to help you as much as I can, wherever I can. Let me begin with your first erroneous statement. I'm not going to comment on the minute-by-minute events in the Middle East. I don't comment on things I haven't seen, and I especially don't comment on things that don't have names attached. I'm not going to give you the specific names or titles of the people who've been briefed. I refer you to the repeat that I gave you the third time you asked it, which matched the second, which corresponded to the first. I'm not going to tick-tock any of those conversations. You're asking the same questions over and over again. My answer is exactly the same. You're re-asking the question that we've been discussing for 10 minutes. I'm not at liberty to go beyond what I've said about that topic. You're asking me, are we doing something that you can't even define? In this case, which I'm not going to discuss, I can't predict with metaphysical certitude every eventuality. I can't make to you 100% guarantee blanket predictions about all events in life to come. I'm not going to discuss anything involving our operational details. I'm going to refer you to the Pentagon and all operational matters. The President is aware of how the war is being conducted, and the President supports the actions, of course. I'm not going to comment on anything that is or is not a potential military plan. I'm just not going to speculate about anything involving possible military efforts. I'm not going to speculate.
I'm not going to speculate about what the future may or may not hold.
I'm not in a position to speculate about what the number may be. I'm not going to get into any speculation about numbers. I'm not going to get into the hypotheticals. I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. What you're asking about is a hypothetical, which, as you know, I don't get into. You're asking for us to prove a negative, and that's a road that we're not traveling. That's just a road I'm not going to travel. I think we've exhausted this topic. This is about a half an hour briefing. We can spend all half hour on it if you like. I've said about all I'm going to say on this topic. I love my job. I believe deeply in President Bush, the man, and his policies. But it is my time to go.
The closest any recent press secretary, and I think the Office of Press Secretary is a fairly recent invention, but the closest to Ari Fleischer would be Ron Ness, not Ron Nessen, but Ron, oh, God. Somebody send me the last name. You all have done this for me twice, I think. He was Nixon's press secretary, the youngish dude that Nixon physically jerked around, I think punched him one time, because Ron Ziegler, because Ziegler would not keep the press away. Ziegler was just, I don't know, very unsophisticated. Ari Fleischer was very sophisticated. Ari Fleischer knows how to use language. He knows how to hide, to invert, to ignore, to demean, mostly to hide things. The function of Ari Fleischer was to prevent the American public from getting any information about this criminal administration whatsoever. His job was not unlike Winston Smith's at the Ministry of Truth in the novel, and that was to utterly and totally destroy information, destroy it, kill it. It didn't exist. Listening to all that just makes my stomach hurt. I mean, it really does. It just makes my stomach hurt. I like that line in there where he says, my job, the function of the press secretary is to help the press. Son of a bitch. Kurt is calling from Atlanta. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. That was genius.
Oh, it was just unbelievable stuff.
With memories playing in the background.
I know.
That was God. Awesome. Hey, quick. I just wondered what you thought of the, I'm not a big fan of Judicial Watch, but their latest release that has shows that the documents they've gotten through their lawsuit shows that Iraq's oil fields and a breakdown of what companies can take control of what. I mean, how much more simple does it have to be for our media to pick that up?
Yeah, it's a shame that media is not talking about that. I had a story the other day that some of the contracts now have been let. British Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell, they have each won the right to buy wholesale 2 million barrels of Iraqi crude.
Unbelievable.
Let me see what else here. Anyway, the article, I will probably, Chevron Texaco also is, you see, this is the payoff for Tony Blair, for Tony Blair's British-based oil companies and American-based oil companies. It's not about the oil. We know that. It's about freedom and the little Iraqi
right.
babies growing up under rainbows. But in the meantime, it is about the oil. And this is why I think why Tony Blair came to this country. I thought he was supposed to get a congressional or some sort of a Medal of Honor awarded by Congress, not the Congressional Medal of Honor. But I don't know. It's either been delayed or whatever. But he comes and gives that wonderful speech today. He does for the U.S. Congress exactly what Monica did for Bill Clinton, and everybody eats it up. And he's a good boy, Tony Blair is, and his oil companies get all kinds of good contracts.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, quick question. I had to move from Atlanta up to the land of the Yankees. I'm now living in Salem, Massachusetts. You have a Salem, Massachusetts bureau chief.
You're not calling from Atlanta?
I'm calling for Salem.
Salem, Mass. I don't think we do. You want to be it?
I would love it. You know me as Kurt from Atlanta, but, you know, in the Bush recession, I got to move where the job is.
Oh, boy, isn't that the truth. All right, Salem, Mass. I'm not going to make any jokes about Salem. Never mind. All right, Salem,
Easy.
Massachusetts Bureau Chief. That's cool. You're it.
Cool, Mike. Thanks,
Tag.
Bro. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for checking in.
Anytime.
All right,
Thanks.
Sir. Have a nice evening. Kodak is calling, one of our over-the-road gang, long-distance trucker listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Kodak.
How's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's going.
I first apologize for not calling as regular as I used to. I'm just not able to compete with all of the bureau chiefs that you have calling in to find you with facts and figures.
Yeah.
But I have been listening on a regular basis, and one thing I have noticed is that once you are used to receiving your information and news truthfully, anything less than that just makes me sick.
Isn't that the truth?
And if I hear one more person say that, well, the end justifies the means, that the call of early tonight brought out, that it was a good thing and that they needed liberation,
mm-hmm.
and in this sense of being a good Christian, I think the Christian obligation is to take care of your own home first.
I think so.
And so where is my liberation, my free health care, my free education?
Mm-hmm.
And before we give the Pentagon any more money, I want to know where that $1 trillion is. Let's back up with that first.
Well, you're... You're wanting facts, truth. You're wanting accountability. You're wanting responsibility. You're wanting all of these things, Kodak, from a Republican administration. My friend, it's not going to happen.
That's asking a lot. Yeah, that is asking a lot. And on to the point of these 16 words. My point on that was, if they actually had had information or documents saying that they were trying to get this yellow-cake uranium from the continent of Africa, they would have been screaming it from the high heavens.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
It would have been a press conference. So that lets us know right there that they knew from the beginning.
Total lie.
Information.
Total lie.
Not correct.
Total lie. Hey, there's the music, Kodak. Hey, listen, drive safely as you're driving around Knoxville, okay?
Yes.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
And
keep
check
up the good work.
And don't be a stranger.
All right.
Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean, you know,
right. Well, Yeah, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. It looks like we're going to have to get to this, the Republican Attorney's General scam after the break. But we will get to it. It's just an incredible, incredible story. King David calling from Woodstock Nation. Hey, David.
Hello. By the way, I did send you an email with a late AP report about the prior situation.
I just printed it off.
Okay.
Got it.
And tonight on Olbermann's show on MSNBC, the last story, I don't know if you've heard about this, but it actually apparently originates from your fair town of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah?
A gentleman by the name of Mark Schultz was interviewed by the FBI on a tip that somebody phoned in to them that he was reading something suspicious. What it turned out to be was a Weekly Planet article about Fox News.
And he was...
questioned by the FBI about it.
Now the Weekly Planet, that is the Tampa, Florida version of the alternative newspaper here in Atlanta, Creative Loafing.
Right.
A Weekly Planet is an excellent alternative newspaper. So somebody here in Atlanta was reading a copy and they got I don't quite understand this, David. Somebody went to a phone and said, "I see somebody riding on the bus here reading this article," or what?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's how he explained it to Olbermann.
Huh?
And it's the last story on Olbermann's Countdown show on MSNBC tonight. They're going to be rerunning it. Midnight and 3 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, well, I usually catch part of Keith Olbermann. I've said I don't watch television news. I do happen to like Olbermann. I liked him from his sportscaster days.
Yeah.
But sometimes, after we've gone through the day, I'll watch some of these replays because then I know I'm not going to get upset because I already know what the stories are.
Right.
I already know. You know, I've already been through it.
plus, Olbermann has spent some time at Fox Sports, so he has a bit of an extra grind against the company too.
Sure, absolutely.
You know their philosophy: you will lie for the cause, according to Chet Kopick, who he used to be on Fox Sports Chicago.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I'll check it out tonight, David. Thanks for checking in.
Have a good trip to Ohio.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
All right, take care. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. We're going to talk about Republican attorneys general who tried an old protection scam just like organized crime.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Sophia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Well, never mind. I can't think of
better. Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. British Prime Minister Tony Blair defended the Iraqi war as well as the global war on terrorism in a speech to a joint session of Congress today.
I feel a most urgent sense of mission about today's world. September the 11th was not an isolated event, but a tragic prologue. Iraq, another act, and many further struggles will be set upon this stage before it's over.
Blair says the real threat in the world comes in brutal dictatorships, poverty, and religious extremism. North Korea may be showing signs it's ready to talk about ending its nuclear arms program. A senior State Department official who asked not to be identified says there is active diplomacy that could get multilateral discussions about North Korea's suspected nuclear arms program started again. China hosted three-way talks between the United States, North Korea, and China last April, but those talks didn't make much progress. A dispute has since erupted over which country should be allowed to attend future talks. The United States is pressing for five-way talks that include South Korea and Japan, while North Korea is pushing for bilateral talks with the United States.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A top Senate Republican is trying to slim down some court dockets by authoring a bill that would head off a wave of lawsuits against the food industry. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell's bill would shield the food industry from lawsuits alleging their high-fat foods cause obesity. McConnell says the Common Sense Consumption Act would only apply to lawsuits claiming injury from weight gain or obesity. A number of lawsuits against the food industry have already been thrown out or dropped, but other cases are pending, and some lawmakers are concerned that many of the same lawyers who spearheaded successful lawsuits against the tobacco industry are now turning their eyes towards fatty foods. The president of Algeria has publicly invited the leader of Morocco to restore diplomatic ties after more than a quarter century of bad blood between the two nations. Back in 1975, Morocco seized the former Spanish colony of Western Sahara. Along with the territory, Moroccan troops seized a fortune in minerals. In return, Algeria backed a Moroccan rebel group that fought the government in Rabat for 15 years. But last night, Algerian President Abdelaziz Bouteflika called for an end to the tension. Bouteflika said the dispute has lasted too long. The UN Security Council is now working on ways to reduce tensions between Algeria and Morocco. Bouteflika, speaking to Pakistan's president during a state visit, asked Pervez Musharraf to take with him to Morocco a message of friendship. Musharraf was to visit Rabat today, the last stop on a three-nation African tour.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! you know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Workers at Verizon Communications Incorporated have given their union leaders the authority to call a strike. Unions representing 80,000 Verizon employees, about 35% of the company's total workforce, began negotiations with the company last month. Both sides have said health care costs, job security, and absentee rates are some of the most contentious issues. Verizon is trying to cut costs and expand into new markets like long-distance telephone services and data services. 92% of the Communication Workers of America's Verizon employees reportedly voted to authorize the strike. The next step would be for the CWA board to authorize its president to announce a strike date. The contract expires at midnight Eastern Time on August 2nd. On Wall Street, stocks ended the day lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average slid 44 points to 90.51. The Nasdaq dropped 50 points to 16.98, and the S&P 500 lost 12 points to 9.82. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Lime green, smoky black, pomegranate red, and crystal clear. If you're thinking fashion colors for fall, back up and think car fluids. And when I come back, I'll tell you all about them. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. The same false shades you see on Paris runways can be found on garage floors. And these colors speak volumes as to current or potential problems. Lime green says, coolant, check your radiator. Smoky black whispers oil leaks. Could be engine, differential, or power steering. Pomegranate or brownish red hints transmission fluid. And crystal clear may say harmless condensation or may shout danger, your brake fluid's leaking. Make sure your car's in the pink. Catch these fluids on a newspaper for your mechanic to evaluate. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Don't forget, I will have a substitute for me tomorrow and all of next week. All right, so when you tune in tomorrow night, you go, oh, where's Malloy? We took a break, all right? It may be a best of program tomorrow. And then next week, substitutes. All right. Now, before we get to the Republican attorneys general, Phil is calling from Painesville, Ohio. Hey, Phil.
Hello, Mike. I was just wondering. I had a few questions about Iraq. I was just wondering if you or your radio audience could answer them for me.
Well, let her rip. Let's hear them.
Okay. Number one. Now, we can't find Saddam, right? Well, wasn't he supposed to have 7 imposters? Me to tell me they couldn't find out one of them? And number two, they said he had 70-plus castles.
Yeah.
How many did he really have?
I don't know. I just believe what I read in the papers.
Okay, number three. Now, all those people that spoke out against Saddam, mm-hmm. they had their tongues cut out, right?
That's what I've heard.
How many of those people have they found?
The people or the tongues? The people? I don't know. I don't know.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about, we've been fed this propaganda now since last August.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now another one. The CIA, they spent over $30 billion a year. Did any one in the CIA tell Bush that Iraq was no danger to this country? It fell in a few days. I mean, how inept are they?
Phil, I can't answer your questions because your questions are logical questions, and there is nothing logical or as Bush would say, commonsensical about anything that his administration has done, certainly nothing about Iraq. So guys like you and I and gals like Tracy, all of us who have these questions, we will never get any answers because the Bush crime family does not operate within the realm of logic or reason or honesty or ethical behavior or morality. They simply don't. So we're kind of stuck. We have the questions, Phil, and we'll never have the answers.
All right. Now, your mass graves. Now, didn't the 91 war create a lot of, I heard over 150,000 Iraqi deaths. Now, could those mass graves be, Saddam was a bad guy. I mean, I guess we could all.
Well, I may be able to answer that one. Don't forget that the Iraqis and the Iranians had a, what was it, six-year-long war that became a war of attrition where estimates are as many as 500,000-700,000 people on both sides were slaughtered. And those mass graves, I think one of them that was turned up, the DNA evidence showed that they were Iranians, and this was left over from this horror was left over from the war between Iran and Iraq back in the early 80s. So I
here's the last thing I want to tell you, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
At the press conference today, when he talked about the people there down in Gitmo, he said, "Well, they were wish that they were illegal combatants." You know.
Yeah, he called them. He called them bad guys because Tony Blair. The question from the British press was, "Mr. Blair, are you going to ask for our citizens back?" And then, of course, Bush butted his ignorant ass in and said, "These are all bad guys."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what gets me is. Now, we attacked Afghanistan. Now, if they fought back, then they get imprisoned? Oh, I don't know. I'm still trying to understand what those people actually did that they have to be on trial for.
Well, Phil, again, you're trying to...
I just don't know.
No, you're trying to use logic. You're trying to use reason. You're trying to understand something that is not understandable.
Have a good vacation, Mike.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate your call. Yeah, that was another thing that Bush said today when the question came up about the there are either somewhere between 2 and 9 British citizens. Oh yeah, they're Arab speakers, but they're British citizens, and people in the UK are demanding, the government officials are demanding that these British citizens be released to the British government, and they'll be tried. They'll go through British justice, not this psychopathic Wolfowitz's military tribunals and death chambers down in Guantanamo. And the question came up, and Bush said, "Well, these are all bad guys." Now they just release 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 of these people who were just swept up. Held all these months. One Afghan farmer, I believe I read this the other day, is going to file a massive lawsuit, how about that, against Bush and the U.S. military for what they did to him. But to Bush it doesn't matter, just like all the people whose executions he oversaw in Texas. All the innocent people and the guilty people. They're all killers. They're all killers. They got a trial. They got their trial. They're all killers. And that Carla Faye Tucker, that little bitch, Jesus, yeah, she talked to Jesus. Don't kill me, don't kill me. This man is sick. George Bush is sick. He's a killer. He's a psychopath. And he's running this country, whether we like it or not. Or at least it appears he's running this country. You can make the case that Dick Cheney, another psychopath, is running the country. Or Wolfowitz. But it appears that Bush is running the country. Dear God. All right, the The Republican Attorney's General story is really, you know, a lot of people say, well, Mike, you know, you're busting up on Republicans, you're constantly busting up, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you focus on Bush or Cheney? Why Republicans? Because Republicans are vile. All Republicans are liars, cheats, sneaks, they are deceivers, they are immoral, and they have no ethical structure whatsoever. I don't care if they're members of Congress or your mama. If they are Republicans, they are thugs. They support mass murder. They support the destruction of this country. Now, the story is that Republican state attorneys general in at least six states telephoned corporations or trade groups that were subject to lawsuits or regulations by their state governments to solicit hundreds of thousands of dollars in political contributions. Now, think about that for a second. Let's suppose you're arrested for shoplifting a loaf of bread and you get a phone call from your county prosecutor and he says, well, you know, Mr. Malloy, you shoplifted that loaf of bread. That's a misdemeanor. You're looking at a year in jail. By the way, I'm up for re-election. I could use $100 for my campaign. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? It's Mr. Malloy. I'm going to give that sucker his $100 so quick. There'll be a thunderclap caused by the air rushing into the vacuum where I used to be on my way out the door to go give him his $100. Washington Post got internal fundraising documents of these Republican attorneys general. One of the documents mentions potential state actions against HMOs and suggests that the attorneys general should, quote, start targeting the HMOs for fundraising, close quote. The documents also cite a news article about consolidation and regulation of insurance firms. And the document says, quote, this would be a natural area for us to focus on raising money, end quote. Can you believe this? Now, no, don't do that. I'm not going to get myself into a state of hyper blood pressure. Not going to do it. Now, these attorneys general are all members of the Washington-based Republican Attorneys General Association, RAGA, R-A-G-A. The companies they solicited for campaign contributions included some of the nation's largest tobacco companies, pharmaceutical companies, computer companies, energy, banking, liquor, insurance, media companies, many of which have been targeted in product liability lawsuits or regulations by state governments. So here come these Republican attorneys general. Hey! Hi, my name's Abe Snake. I'm the Attorney General of Virginia, and you, Corporation X, you know, your ass is in real trouble. Did you know that? Listen, by the way, my staff will be prosecuting you, but I'm looking for some campaign contributions. Want to kick in? These people are filthy, and they're corrupt, and they're Republicans. The documents obtained by the Washington Post also describe direct calls the attorneys general made, for example, to representatives of Pfizer, MasterCard, Eli Lilly, Anheuser-Busch, Citigroup, Amway, U.S. Steel, Nextel Communications, General Motors, Microsoft, and Shell Oil. Attorneys general calling these companies, demanding campaign contributions. Republicans, not a Democrat in them. All Republicans, they are bandits, they are filthy, they are corrupt. The documents also make clear that the Republican Attorneys General Association assigned attorneys general to make the calls to companies with business and legal interests in their own states. The calls came from Washington. Hey, John, Attorney General down there in Mississippi, listen, call this company. Ace Ball Bearings, because, you know, we're thinking about a massive lawsuit against Ace Ball Bearings because they've been polluting the environment down there. So call them up and ask for a campaign contribution and hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, maybe suggest that the investigation might head south if they contribute. One of those soliciting funds between 1999 and 2001, according to the documents, is Alabama Attorney General William Pryor Jr., nominated by the corrupt animal George Bush to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. Sources tell the Washington Post that a former RAGA, Republican Attorneys General Association, employee recently turned some of the fundraising documents over to the Senate Judiciary Committee, which could vote as they were going to vote today. It was postponed on William Pryor's nomination. A source who asked not to be named provided the documents to the Post. Now, guess what happened to the woman that turned the documents over to the Senate Judiciary Committee? That's right. You're way ahead of me, aren't you? They're threatening her with jail for stealing documents. Stay tuned. There's more of this, and it's really sick.
Enough is enough. Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm. You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them. Who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. Now, what we're talking about is this organization called the Republican Attorneys General Association. They solicit campaign contributions and money, not just their campaigns, but for the Republican Party. They solicit money from companies or organizations that may become or are targets of their investigations. These are all Republicans, okay? In addition to this prior thug, this Alabama Attorney General, this guy who should be jailed, but instead he has been nominated by Bush to the U.S. Court of Appeals. Can you imagine this? This would-be criminal on the Court of Appeals? Anyway, in addition to Attorney General William Pryor, who made these calls, among others, other attorneys general mentioned in the documents include the, at the time, Virginia Attorney General Mark Early, Delaware Attorney General Jane Brady, at the time, South Carolina Attorney General Charlie Condon, Texas Attorney General John Cornyn, who is now in the Senate, and at the time, Ohio Attorney General Betty Montgomery. One document states, for example, that Texas, Bush's Attorney General Cornyn, was asked to collect a donation from Shell Oil in late 1999. That firm was one of five energy companies that reached a $12.6 million settlement with Cornyn in August of 1999, in a dispute over unpaid royalties. 2 years later, Shell was one of 28 oil and petrochemical companies to reach a $120 million settlement with Cornyn and the Department of Justice in a separate dispute over toxic waste. You see, do you understand this? I always say that, don't I? Do you understand what's going on here? These Republican attorneys general corrupted not only their office, a state office, in many cases, to which they were elected. Some of these thugs were appointed. Not only did they corrupt their offices, but they are corrupting and destroying our judicial and legal system. And George W. Bush nominates one of the chief thugs, Alabama Attorney General William Pryor, to sit on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, which includes, it includes the South, a lot of states here in the South. Now, Don Stewart, a spokesman for the former Texas Attorney General, who's now a senator, Cornyn, spokesman for Cornyn, said the senator does not recall telephoning Shell Oil. Don Stewart, the spokesman, also said he was, quote, troubled by the inference that there's some kind of connection between any such phone call and a legal settlement that benefited the citizens of Texas. That would be the settlement against Shell Oil. Benefited the citizens of Texas. Oh, Jesus. Now, here's kind of the funky part. All funds collected by the Republican Attorneys General Association were passed to the Republican National Committee without any public link to the attorneys general who made the solicitations. Then the money was dispersed to campaigns by the attorneys general and other candidates, according to these documents. Oh, and by the way, RAGA, Republican Attorney General Association, they don't have to file public disclosure statements. Filthy, filthy Republicans. The documents also state that in return for contributions, company officials who had been solicited would be entitled to meet with the attorneys general, participate in conference calls with them, socialize with them, As of February 22, 2000, the group had collected $235,000 from 21 firms, received promises of $188,000 from 24 other firms, and was soliciting funds from an additional 114 firms, according to the documents. There's more. We'll finish it up right after this break.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Striking hotel workers in Chicago are taking their protest into cyberspace this week. Workers at the Congress Plaza Hotel and Convention Center walked off the job on Tuesday after their employer refused to follow a citywide labor pact won last year, instead ordering employees to accept a 7% pay cut. Local 1 of the hotel employees and restaurant employees wants guests to avoid the 840-room hotel until the Congress agrees to a contract, and they're targeting the popular online travel company Orbitz, whose website invites travelers to stay in the hotel.
More good news for a year-long organizing campaign involving workers at a bulletproof vest factory in Florida. In January, a federal district court forced point-blank body armor to rehire 175 workers who struck for the right to unionize in Fort Lauderdale. Yesterday, a National Labor Relations Board judge ruled point-blank violated the rights of 3 workers it fired for organizing activities and ordered the company to pay them an estimated $300,000 in back wages and damages.
Managers of a Borders bookstore in suburban Chicago fired a known union supervisor this week, prompting union organizers to file a number of unfair labor practice charges with the National Labor Relations Board. The worker was ostensibly let go for allowing a performer to set up a tip jar in the store in violation of Borders policy, but union supporters say that managers have similarly broken that rule without repercussions, and they say the employees' support for the United Food and Commercial Workers was management's real motivation for the firing. A separate complaint charges that managers quizzed the worker about union activity during his termination interview, also in violation of the National Labor Relations Act.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night's a rebroadcast on this program, then all next week somebody will be substituting for me. We're talking about the Republican attorneys general that solicited corporate contributions. All Republicans, hundreds of thousands of dollars in political contributions. The documents were obtained by the Washington Post. This is against the solicitations were made to companies that were involved in litigation, or there was indication there was going to be litigation, companies involved in settlements prior to litigation. And the attorneys general involved were from Virginia, Delaware, South Carolina, Texas, and Ohio. And, of course, Alabama, this disgusting Alabama Attorney General William Pryor Jr., who has been nominated by Bush to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. Now, again, the organization was founded. The organization was founded by Pryor. Okay? Can you get your mind around this? William Pryor Jr., who Bush wants to put on an appeals court, founded what is nothing more than a criminal enterprise. It is a shakedown band of thugs. Listen, we understand here on the street that there have been a lot of fires, you know? And we'll make sure your grocery store doesn't get burned down. Now, it's $100 a week. You want the protection? That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. The Republican Attorney General's Association was founded by William Pryor Jr. and the Republican National Committee with the explicit aim of soliciting funds from the firearms, tobacco, paint industries, industries facing state lawsuits over cancer deaths, lead poisoning, gunshots, consumer complaints. Now, that is according to statements by Pryor himself and other officials as to what RAGA was all about. It's there in their charter. These sons of bitches don't even try to hide the fact that they are nothing more than stick-up artists. According to the Washington Post today, Pryor, who did not return a phone call to his Alabama office seeking comments yesterday, has told reporters that he does not want corporations to be punished by trial lawyers and favors a market-oriented approach to state law enforcement. Do you hear that? A market-oriented approach to law enforcement? What does that mean? What does that mean? If I am arrested for murder, that means I can buy my way out. If I'm arrested for corporate crimes, I can buy my way out. That is a market-oriented approach to law enforcement. Can you believe this? And Bush wants to put this pig on the appeals court bench. Alabama's Attorney General Pryor. Nothing more than a filthy, corrupt criminal. Shaking down corporations. Not that the filthy, rotten corporations don't deserve to be shaken down, but it's so incestuous, isn't it? The corporations break the law. The attorneys general, Republicans all, that are supposed to prosecute them, cut deals.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you contribute some money and maybe your case will be lost?
In the documents handed over to the Washington Post, William Pryor is described as phoning Philip Morris and Brown and Williamson, two tobacco companies, in 1999 to obtain $25,000, which would be what RAGA calls roundtable memberships. Roundtable memberships. Pryor is also described as phoning Boeing, BP Amoco, GTE Corporation, AT&T, MCI, South Trust Bank, including some in Alabama, and collecting an additional $75,000. Now, those two tobacco companies, Philip Morris and Brown and Williamson, they were parties to a $2.6 billion liability settlement reached in 1998 with 26 state attorneys general, including Pryor. And in a written statement, following his June 11th confirmation hearing, Pryor said he was unaware of any funds that the Republican Attorney General's Association solicited or collected from companies in Alabama. He also told Congress under oath he did not know whether any tobacco companies were RAGA members. And this filthy pig made the phone call to Philip Morris and Brown and Williamson to collect the dues. So not only is he corrupt to the core of his being, he is also a perjurer.
Well, Bill Clinton perjured himself, Mike. He said he didn't have sex with that woman, and he did. You know what, Mike? I'm just damn glad that we have dignity restored in the White House, and I support my president. You communist bastard, I don't like you, Mike Malloy. I support my president, and William Pryor's a good man. He really is. And you communists in this liberal damn media, you people are destroying America. That's what you're doing. You're destroying America, Malloy.
Filthy. Filthy pigs. And you wonder, and does anybody out there who listens to this program still wonder why I loathe and despise Republicans? I don't care. I don't care if they are from Senator Snow all the way down to your mama. I don't care. If they are Republicans, they support corruption, filth, vice, crime, destruction of our system of government. They are thugs, either consciously, unconsciously, deliberately, or accidentally. They are willful participants in this Republican horror that's sweeping this country. Is your mama a Republican, your daddy, your cousin, your sister, your grandmammy? You better get them straight. Now this from the Associated Press at today. Senators temporarily delayed Alabama Attorney General William Pryor's nomination to a federal appeals court Thursday after questions were raised about Pryor's fundraising activities for a Republican Attorneys General group. The Senate Judiciary Committee was to vote on his nomination Thursday morning. The vote was put off under a rarely invoked rule banning committee work 2 hours after a Senate session begins. Senate Judiciary Chairman Orrin Hatch, Republican thug of Utah, said he would try to bring the committee back later. The Republicans hold a one vote advantage on the committee. Hatch said,
I hate to keep people here late tonight, but if we can't get rid of the two-hour rule invocation, I'm going to ask all of my colleagues to be here as soon as the Senate goes out of session this evening. Because you know why? William Pryor's a good man. And that liberal communist Malloy on the radio and that filthy Washington Post, you know, they're talking about this stuff, and they're not going to see. This is political. This is all politicized. That's all they're doing. They're just politicizing. I love my president. Pryor, you see, has been nominated for a seat on the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta. Democrats have complained, by the way, about his strong comments against abortions and gays. Well, Democrats, how about his strong activities in a crime organization, Republican Attorney General's Association? How about that? At his confirmation hearing and in writing, Pryor told the committee that as far as he knows, he never raised money from tobacco companies or companies under investigation by his office. But the documents show Pryor was involved in telephone solicitations from these very companies. Ah! Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat, New York. The issue here, if I might say, is not, in my judgment, the fundraising activities of Mr. Pryor. It is rather, when asked about those activities, whether he answered accurately and fully and truthfully. He may well have. He may well have not. But we ought to find out. Oh, Jesus! Can you believe this? This is what you get from a Democratic senator.
The issue here is not, in my judgment, the fundraising activities of Mr. Pryor. What is Charles Schumer saying? That it's okay with him for a state attorney general to call up a company that's about to be indicted and ask for a campaign contribution? Is that what you're saying, Chuck? Have I said tonight that I hate Democrats?
So Schumer's got his bloomers in a wad because he says, well, it's rather when they asked about those activities,
did he answer accurately and fully and truthfully? He may well have. He may well have not. But we ought to find out.
Meanwhile, Orrin Hatch and the Republicans said they are confident that all the answers Pryor gave are correct. Jeff Sessions, Republican pissant of Alabama, said,
there's nothing here. There's nothing here. Move on. There's nothing here.
Some Democrats disagreed. Russ Feingold, Democrat, Wisconsin. He said the nominee's answers did not correspond to what the documents are suggesting. And then Schumer comes back in and says, now you can't jump to the conclusion that Mr. Pryor did something wrong here, but you also can't jump to the conclusion that he did something right. The logical thing to do, which is why it makes sense to delay, is to wait until this bipartisan investigation is looked at. Hi, I'm Charles Schumer. Maybe he did something wrong. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Up is down. Left is right. Who knows?
Orrin Hatch said the Democrats are just trying to delay another one of Bush's nominees. Because, you know, Democrats are also filibustering two other criminals, Miguel Estrada for the U.S. Court of Appeals, District of Columbia, and Priscilla Owen, former bag lady for God only knows who, for the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals.
Hatch said, this is pure politics, pure and simple. Just because our boy goes out and solicits funds from companies that are going to investigate, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
Senator John Cornyn, Republican, Texas, former member of the Republican Attorneys General Association, called the Democrats' questions about all this hypocrisy. Hypocrisy.
Cornyn said, elected officials can and do raise money for their political party all the time. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly legal.
It's perfectly legal to raise money from corporations against whom you may file a lawsuit. I'll tell you, I don't know how much more this country can stand. I honestly don't. I'm talking about until the total, absolute, and complete destruction of our legal system, our system of self-government, our relationship with the rest of the world, how we run our military, all of it, until it all just collapses into a garbage heap of George Bush and the Republican Party. How much more? What, is there any area here that these thugs have not totally destroyed? What are we facing? A $500 billion budget deficit? Oh, I know they said 455. Forget that. $500 billion budget deficit for 2003, and next year it's supposed to go up to... We have Americans being killed every day in Afghanistan and Iraq. We have an economy that is just, oh, God, why bother? Why bother? But I seriously wonder, how much more can this country handle? How much more denial? You know what these people are doing? You know what these Republicans are doing? Since they are insane, starting with Bush, Cheney, all of them, clinically, bastardly insane, they're making the rest of the country crazy. They are. They're destroying everything they touch. They are corrupt. (sighs)
Republican attorneys general forming an organization specifically to shake down defendants in lawsuits that the attorneys general or their staffs will be prosecuting. Can it get any worse than that? If there's something worse than that, what? Oh, okay, yeah, I guess it can. Lying about weapons of mass destruction, nuclear bombs. You know, the word is out there now. Well, we had to say that to get the dumbass American public on board. That's why we came up with the nuclear weapons. Nothing scares these sheeple like nuclear weapon going off in downtown the Loop in Chicago or downtown Atlanta. That's why we used it. You know, we'll get Condoleezza Rice to go out there and talk about, well, you know, you don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud, and then we'll all repeat it, and we'll get the bastards on Fox to do it, and the pig man, and everybody doing, smoking gun, mushroom cloud, because the American people are stupid and cowardly and dumb and ignorant and misinformed, and we love them because they are so easy to manipulate. Is there anything, any area of your life, my life, the life of this country, that these corrupt pigs have not polluted? Any area. I'm open for nominations. Any area. Anything. We'll be back.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Oh man, this story from the Washington Post, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? And the Republicans insist that these criminals wind up as an appeals court judge. An appeals court judge. It's just astonishing. The brazenness of these people, because they know that you'll get people like Charles Schumer, Democrat from New York, say, well, now there's no proof that Pryor did anything wrong. Of course, there's no proof they did anything right. Well, I don't know. You know, I support my president. I'm a Democrat, and show me who's asked to kiss, and I'll kiss it. Nobody says that their crime was committed. Who knows? But it appears that maybe he didn't tell the truth, but that's okay. He's a Republican, and I want to get reelected, so it's okay. Have I mentioned how much I loathe the leadership of the Democratic Party? I'm sure I have. Bushfire. How you doing? Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
That's how you're known on Democratic Underground.
You could say that.
Yeah. Calling from Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
And there's a huge story break-in. And
another one?
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with Larry Klayman over at Judicial Watch.
Oh, this is the thing. Yeah, we had a caller tonight mention this. Apparently, they got some of the papers from Cheney. And
oh, maybe I'm calling too late then.
That's right. And the country, Iraq, was all carved up with all the oil and everything, right?
I didn't know you talked about this, and I've been only listening for the last hour and a half or so.
Yeah. I think it came up. At one point. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see it. It's judicialwatch.org.
.org.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
And encourage your listeners to download the documents. They're not very big. They're just maps.
Mm-hmm.
And before this goes in the memory hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something. It's one of the posters on DU said it's a virtual PNAC travel brochure.
Oh, my God. And I just hate Larry Klayman. You know, I hate Judicial Watch.
Oh, I know. He's an enemy to the Clintons and everything. But
well, he's an enemy. I just don't like him personally. I think he's a dilettante. He misuses the law and, all that crap he did with Clinton. But on the other hand, you know, you...
If he can bring down Bush...
Yeah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's right.
Bushfire, thanks for checking in, pal.
Hey, say hi to Kevin Kinney for me, will you?
I'll do it.
Okay.
You take care. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Stephanie Stryker, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster. Thanks, Mark. Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief. Thank you, sir. I'll be back Monday, July 28th, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care. Have a great week, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Three Democratic candidates for president apologized today at the NAACP convention in Miami Beach for not making an appearance. Senator Joe Lieberman and Representatives Dennis Kucinich and Dick Gebhardt flew to South Florida to apologize for not attending the convention's presidential forum on Monday. Lieberman's apology came after NAACP President Quiesi Mfume lashed out at the trio, saying they were taking the black vote for granted.
In not coming Monday, I was wrong. I regret it, and I apologize for it.
Six other candidates did attend the convention earlier, but President Bush was a no-show as well. The NAACP, based in Baltimore, attacked the Bush administration on tax cuts and education. Public pressure continues for unpopular Hong Kong leader Tung Chi Hwa to step down. Two key cabinet ministers have already resigned from their posts in an attempt to stabilize the territory, which has been in turmoil since anti-government protests were held a few weeks ago. Celia Hatton has the story from Beijing.
Critics are calling for the immediate resignation.